Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Morning. Good morning, Fusion Church. Amen. Can you guys hear me okay this morning? All right. Well, another week has gone by again. This is Friday, Freedom Friday. You know, we always say, Doug always brings that up, Freedom Friday, because it is the end of the week, but it's also for us, you know, we have to declare that every day over us, that we are free in the Lord, that we are free because He has made us free. So we want to praise the Lord for that, you know, and we're coming in to a fresh month, you know, another week has passed by, and guess what? In a few more days will be election time, and I'm going to tell you guys, you better get yourselves out there, and you better vote what Christ will vote. I'm telling you that right now. This nation needs the Christian family to stand up and position themselves and declare the word of the Lord. And we do that by going out there and voting, you know, and God has all this, you know, above all things, God has all this. So, you know, just get out there and do what the Lord has called you to do. Okay, we are in Leviticus chapter 7. Ooh, that's gonna be a toughie one because it's so back in the Old Testament times, but we're gonna get through that. Let us pray before we do that. Heavenly Father, I just praise you and I just thank you for this is the day that you have made, Father, and I will rejoice and be glad in it, Father. I thank you for this morning, for all those who are watching, who are listening, Father God, who are gonna be hearing this later on, my Lord. I pray your blessings upon them and upon their homes and their family. Thank you for this word, Father God. Let it be you and not me, for this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, stretch if you need it. You know, I read this one time. I read it again, you know, and I was scratching my head. How am I going to unwind this particular chapter? And I put some notes together, and then this morning I'm reading it again. And I'm just going to go through the scripture, and I might stop here and there explaining some things to you. But I want to get through this scripture because this scripture, you know, even though it was written back in the day, you know, and we no longer are under, you know, some of these practices that they have done because we are under the blood of Jesus, you know, and He paid the price for us, you know. But this particular chapter, you know, it speaks about giving. It speaks about sacrifices. It speaks about offerings. It speaks about rituals and all these things. But all these things were needed, you know, and were needed to honor God and for forgiveness. You know, we, like I said earlier, we may not practice this, but there was a lot of good principles that come out of this, you know, because God is a God of order, you know, and he wants us to do things in a certain way. So let us begin. Okay, Leviticus chapter 7. It says, likewise, this is the law of the trespass offering. It is the most high, holy. It is the place where they kill the burnt offerings that they shall kill for the trespass offering. Its blood shall be sprinkled all around the altar, and he shall offer it and its fat, the fat in it, and the fat that covers the animal's entrails, the two kidneys, the fat in it, and them that the flanks, and the fatty loops attached to the liver above the kidneys, he shall remove, and the priest shall burn them in the altar as an offering made a fire to the Lord. It is the trespass offering. It is the trespass offering. So it's giving you here detail, graphic details about what this priest had to do, you know, to do this particular sacrifices. Everything has details. It says, every male among the priests may eat it. It shall be eaten in the holy place. It is the Most High. So it was a hot, it was the Most High, a holy sacrifice that there was being done, but it was also provision. So again, God was providing for the priest. You know, the priest at that particular time did not have the time to go out, you know, and do the work to grow vegetables and food and cattle and all that. They spent all the time pretty much in the temple doing these sacrifices, and so they didn't have that time. So these sacrifices, you know, part of it belonged to the priest. He said the trespass offering is like a sin offering. There is one law for them both. The priest who makes the atonement, and he shall have it. The priest who offers anyone's burnt offering, that priest shall have for himself the skin of the burnt offering which has been offered. Also, every grain offer that is baked in the oven and all that is prepared in the copper pans or in a pan shall be the priest who offer it. Every grain offering, whether mixed with oil or dry, shall belong to the sons of Aaron as one as the other. In other words, so the offerings was also meeting their needs. Just like today in a church, we have needs. Come on now. We have needs, and we bring our offerings to the Lord. We bring our offerings to the house to meet the needs of the house, to meet the needs of our leader that is there, you know, because they have to get it from someplace. And if they're working for the house, they're working for the Lord, you know, this is when they get their provision. Verse 11 says, this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offering, which he shall offer the Lord. If he offers it for thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving, unleavened cake mix with oil, unleavened wafers, anointed with oil, or cakes of blended flour mixed with oil. Besides the cakes of his offering, he shall offer unleavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving and of his peace offering. And from it, he shall offer one cake for each of us, an heaven offering to the Lord. It shall belong to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the peace offering. The flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day it is offered. It shall not leave any until the morning. So again, there's provisions here, but there's also conditions here. And the conditions here that they say that the priest had to do, you know, he does the offering and he had the part of this offering belongs to him so he can eat it. But yet again, there was provision. In other words, you know, we got to have order in how we do things. We have to have order in the way that we do our business, you know, because God is a God of order. And in verse 16, continuing in chapter 7 of Leviticus, verse 16 says, but if the sacrifice of his offering is a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day as he offers a sacrifice. But on the next day, the remainder also may be eaten. The remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day must be burned with fire. If anyone of the flesh of the sacrifice of this peace offering is eaten on the third day, he shall not be accepted. It shall be an imputed to him. He shall be an abomination to him who offers it, and the person who eats it shall bear guilt. In other words, it says here that they have to eat it within 2 days. So this offering, you know, that the Lord gave them, he said you could eat it first day and second day, but on the third day, it got to go out. It's got to go out. And if you don't eat it, look what it says there. It says that it's an abomination You know, so he's saying that I'm not going to accept this offering. Why? Because you disobey me. You know, so disobedience, talking about disobedience, this is in the Old Testament, but when we read it and we go and we read between the lines, it's telling us how to do it, when to do it, and do not do this. And they say here, the third day, it will be an abomination. Verse 19, it says, the flesh that touches any unclean thing shall not be eaten. It shall be burned with fire as of an unclean flesh, and all who are clean may eat of it. But the person who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to the Lord, while he is unclean, that person shall be cut off from the people. Again, look what he said, that person shall be cut off. In other words, my brothers and my sisters, we got to do things in order, and we got to do things the right way. We have to obey God, and we have to listen to his word. And he's giving us, he's giving them instructions back in the day. I just thank God that we no longer live back in those days. Because I don't think I can make it. So many do's and don'ts, and you know, you got to stop this. You know, if you miss one day, you got to throw it out, you know, and all of these requirements. Sometimes it was, that's why it was impossible for back in the old days for them to keep the law, because there was so many ifs, so many things in there. Okay, verse 20. Moreover, the person who touches any unclean thing, such as human uncleanliness, an unclean animal, or any abominable unclean thing, who eats the flesh of the sacrifice of the peace offering that belongs to the Lord, that person shall be cut off from the people. That person shall be cut off. Look, as they're saying, God's going to cut you off. They're going to kick you out of the church if you fall into this trap. That's why we need to do things in order. That's why we have to be holy before God. That's why there's a certain way that we do things. And if we mess up, you know, we mess up today, we can go to the Lord Jesus and say, Father, forgive me. My bad. I missed the target. And God forgives us. And I just thank God for that, that we are no longer under the law, no longer under the Old Testament, the way that they did things. All right, verse 22. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, you shall not eat any fat of ox or sheep or goat, and the fat of an animal that dies naturally, and the fat of what is torn by wild beasts may be used in any other way, but you shall by no means eat it. For whoever eats the fat of the animal of which man offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, that person that eats it shall be cut off from the people. Again, putting the limitation. Thank you, Jesus, that I can just go to you. I don't have to go to man. We can go directly to the Father. When we mess up, I don't have to have an in-between. You know, I don't have to go to Pastor Harry, Pastor Brendan, Pastor Jason, Pastor John, you know, or anybody else. I can go right to the Lord Jesus and say, Father, my bad. I missed the mark again, you know, and he forgives us. He says, verse 26, moreover, you shall not eat any blood in any of the dwellings, which whether a bird or beast, whoever eats any blood, that the person shall be cut off from his people. So he's talking about eating blood. You know, speaking back in the day, you're not supposed to. And anyway, it's unhealthy, number one, you know. So God was trying to prevent us, you know, from getting sick and all that. So, you know, that's why there's limits. That's why God, you know, puts his hand and says, no, do not do this. Again, verse 28 says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, he who offered the sacrifice of his peace offering to the Lord shall bring his sacrifice to the Lord from the sacrifice of the peace offering. His own hands shall bring the offering made by the fire to the Lord. The fat of the beast shall he bring, that the beast may be waved as a wave offering before the Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat of the altar, but the beast shall be Aaron's and his son. Again, it's talking about here, and again, the sacrifice what is being done. But at the end, it says, you know, that part of this sacrifice belongs to Aaron and belongs to, you know, to the priests. So again, it talks about provisions, you know, and the way we do that today, again, I'm going to say that's our offerings. When we go to church, you know, when we give tithes, we're meeting the need of the church. We're meeting the need of the repairs that goes into it. And we all know that God is building a Fusion here in Cumberland County, and EHT is going to, you know, they're not going to be knocking down walls pretty soon, you know, and extending the sanctuary. So all the offerings, you know, that we bring into the house is going for a purpose. And this is what it's talking about here back in the day. Verse 32, it says, also the right thigh you shall give to the priest. So part of the sacrifice of the animal, part of that sacrifice goes to the priest. So that way they can live. That way they can have food for themselves. Because God is a God that always provides. The Lord will always meet your need. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's happening, God is going to meet your needs. This is a sidebar. God is going to meet your needs. You know, stay focused on his word. Stay focused on his promises, because God is in control. Verse 33, it says, he among the sons of Aaron who offers the blood of a peace offering and the fat, he shall have the right thigh of that part for the beast of the wave offering and the high of the hive offering. I have taken from the children of Israel, from the sacrifice of their peace offering, and I have given them to Aaron's priests, again, giving them to the leaders and his son and the children of Israel by the statutes forever. Almost done this reading here. So again, God is a God of provision. God is a God of provision. He's going to meet all of our needs. Verse 35, it says, this is the consecration portion of Aaron's and his son from the offering made by fire to the Lord. On the day which Moses presented them to the ministers, to the Lord as priests, the Lord commanded this to be given to them by the children of Israel on the day that he anointed them by stature forever throughout all the generations. So again, God put this in place back in that time. And it was for the structure of how things were being done. In other words, we all need structure. We all need structure. We cannot all be a ship by ourselves out there doing whatever we think is right. But God is putting instructions for us to follow. And all we need to do is just adhere to his leading. And to finish off this particular chapter, it says in verse 37, and this is the law of the burnt offerings, the grain offering, the sin offering, the trespass offering, the consecration, the sacrifice, the peace offering, which the Lord commanded Moses on Mount Sinai on the day that he commanded the children of Israel to offer their offerings to the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai. Amen, amen, amen. All right, all right, all right. I got through all this verse of Leviticus 7. And again, it speaks to us today about, you know, a lot of the things that we need. You know, I got 4 points that this particular chapter talks about. It talks about holiness. It talks about fellowship. It talks about thanksgiving, sin and repentance. And it also talks about giving. It also talks about giving, you know, and the first portion here, the time that I have left, you know, and I'm going to read from Leviticus 11:44, because it talks about holiness. He says, I am the Lord your God, who shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. You shall be holy, for I am holy. You know, so when we approach God, you know, we cannot approach God any way we want to. We got to approach God the right way. We got to approach God the right way. Because he's not a man, he's God. And he deserves our praise. He deserves for us to approach him the right way. And it says there, to be holy, for I am holy. God never tells us to do something we cannot do. Did you hear what I'm saying? God never tells you to do something that you cannot do. He always makes a way. And if he's saying that we can be holy, guess what? you can be holy. And you probably look at yourself and say, well, you know, what I did yesterday, or what about, you know, the other day, or whatever. No, God says, be holy, for I am holy. So we can do this. And we come to him through Jesus Christ. First Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, he says, but as he who called you is holy, the Lord call you, every single one of you, you got a calling upon you. And the Lord call you, you know, and he called you holy. You also be holy in all your conduct, in all what you do, be holy. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Again, scripture backs it up. And if you can never be holy, guess what? It wouldn't be written down. It would not be written down. So guess what? You are holy. Hey, I am holy. And I speak it because what the word of God says that I am. You know? So if the word of God says that I can be holy, then I can be holy, and so can you be holy. The one thing is that I got to be holy, but I got to be humble, and I got to go before the Lord, and I got to say, Lord, I messed this up. Lord, I blew it.